Ladies and gentlemen, here on BBC, we are proud to present a brand new radio show based on several old television shows. We present Whoops, Not in Front of the Buses, Next Door, Street Gang and Son Makes Three. In this week's rib-tickling episode, Vanessa, played by Wendy Craig, again, and her brand new husband Mungo, played by John Alderton, or Derek Nimmo, or both, set off for their week in a brand new country cottage with their brand new children played by the young generation. Oh, dear. Suddenly they all fall under a steamroller and are crushed to death. Yes, yes, yes. And then in comes Jane Fonda in a toad-skin bikini. Yes.
Not true.
And she begins to whip Sir Kenneth Clark. Yes. The entire Northern Light Orchestra strip off.
No, that is not so. Mungo and Vanessa go and visit their mother-in-law with hilarious results.
Oh, surprise, surprise. Big deal, ho, ho.
Right, announcer Hatch, give me that microphone.
Shan't, shan't. I want the whole world to hear my story. Are you listening, world?
Yes!
I want you to know how I, Hatch, one of radio's truly great producers, have been condemned to this servile role by the controller of programs.
That's me.
He's frittered my creative talent away.
Announcer Hatch, silence.
Don't call me that. I'm a producer.
You're an announcer?
Announcer?
Snotty, grumbling, snivelling announcer?
Not.
Announcer's cross?
Listen, Mr. Cleverdick Controller, I produce more programs than you've had hot call girls. And what thanks do I get?
Very little.
What if I am? Who gave you Music Through Midnight and Savile's Travels?
Not you.
So, aren't you grateful? Heavens! I produced Tallow Cheeky. But a man's allowed one mistake, isn't he? You have to hold it against me?
Well, it keeps it warm.
Now, look here, you vicious, cruel monster, sir, master, oh mighty one. I'll have you know, once upon a time, I produced one of the most wonderful shows on radio.
And what was that?
I can't remember.
Hatch, revive this show, whatever it was, and if you can make it the most brilliant, funny and entertaining programme in the history of British entertainment, who knows, I might put it on Radio 3 at 2 o'clock in the morning.
And so, the courageous old Hatch, bless him, recalled his erstwhile workmates from the far-flung corners of Hampstead. The ageing blonde beauty, Timbrook Taylor. Bill Oddie, the singing Brillo pad. Now 10 inches long and covered him from head to hoof. Ex-medical doctor Graham Garden, who retained his contact with the sick by making people throw up at his jokes. Joe Kendall, who years ago was a fine figure of a woman and is now a fine figure of two women. And John Cleese, the only comedian. The only comedian as yet unclimbed by the Chinese.
For minutes they rehearsed, and soon the show was ready.
No, 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 no.
Is it?
No, that was Pick of the Pops, wasn't it? Ah, it is Ours Girl. Come on, somebody must know it. Anyone remember it? Anybody?
Wait a minute,
it's in there somewhere, it's in there somewhere. Come on, Van, one note at a time. First note, please. Just the trombone. Come on, trumpet. Other end. Now try it with your mouth. All together!
Ridiculous. At this rate, we won't even get out before the pubs close.
At long last, the memory of the Angus Prune tune comes wafting back over the air. And what a stink. And brings staggering to the microphone those stars of yesteryear. Brooke Taylor and Cleese, quips with everything. Graham, their affair is at the bottom of my garden. David, down the hatch. And the incredible balloon-juggling team of Joe Kendall and Bill. And here it is, the voice that launched 1,000 quips.
It's, I'm sorry, I'll read that again once more.
it certainly is great to be back. And we'll be here for 8 weeks with some old ones, some new ones, but mainly some filthy ones.
That's the stuff to give up!
The noise, I love it.
No, stop. Quiet! Take that record off.
That's no record, sir. That is Dave Lee and the Kosher Rhythm Boys.
Boys?
These are real live musicians.
Well, very nearly.
I don't care. Off! Now, listen, I'm not having it.
Oh, I am sorry.
You have deceived me.
Oh, I'm disappointed in you.
But don't butt me. Meh. Stop acting the giddy goat. Ah, those are the ones you don't like, are they? My, they have matured. No, Hatch, you can't fool me. I know that under those wrinkled skins and thinning locks are the cast of... I'm sorry, I'll read that again.
Yes, sir. Please, sir, don't go, sir. It's true, sir. But please let us back, sir. Please.
Please.
Never. 3 years ago, I vowed you lot would never work for the BBC again, and you keep trying to wheedle your way back, don't you?
Well, I haven't wheedled, sir.
I think I don't notice. Who did that rotten, despicable, clever dick so-called quiz show, hmm?
Oh, I rather like 20 questions.
Not that. I'm sorry I haven't a script or something. That was you, wasn't it? Yes. The title that gave it away. You didn't fool me. Call that a panel game. Don't make me laugh.
We didn't.
Do you know... when Anona Wynn heard that, she swore she'd never work for the BBC again.
Oh, well, some good came of it.
How dare you. Anona is the new hope of BBC broadcasting, and my God, the public are going to hear about her. It's a long time since Paul Fox and I discovered a new star. She's going to be radio's answer to Lulu, Cilla Black, or Jimmy Hill. But not necessarily in that order. Or indeed in that beer. Look at these new programs we got lined up. Suddenly it's Anona. Sports night with Anona. Friday night is Anona night. And Anona at bedtime. I'm sorry, Anona is in and you're out.
But why?
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 You ask me why?
Oh, all right. Why?
Because you're too old. Washed up. Finished.
Obsolete. Out of date.
Passy!
On the scrap heap.
The cast's spirits were shattered. And they wept buckets. There we go. But at last, the evergreen Brooke Taylor managed to pull himself together.
Oh, that's better. Oh, I beg your pardon. Now, we can't join the BBC. We shall fight them. We shall apply for our own radio broadcasting license.
Radio Prune is on the air, and music and laughter everywhere. We're ready to rave, and we're ready to loon. So listen to Radio Prune.
Without your trousers.
And listen to Radio Prune.
Right. So, off we go with a wacky, zany, oh-so-sharp parody of the very latest sound in pop music. You're not with us, Hoppit. You're with the BBC.
Not anymore. I've been fired.
Aww.
I'm afraid Anona didn't turn out to be quite the smasheroo I'd hoped. I suppose you wouldn't be looking for a loony program controller to set up your jokes for you, because if you are, I'm your man.
You certainly can't do the show without one. You're on.
Oh, thank you very much. Now, where was I?
A wacky, zany, oh-so-sharp parody of the very latest sounds in pop music, and here it is.
Thank you. Now, did I hear a Glenn Miller parody just then, or did my ears deceive me?
No, we didn't, in my ear voice.
Good. Well, that's all right.
Yes, sir, Glenn Miller, a bit progressive, I'll grant you, but it's all part of our up-to-date image. Satire, sir. Side-splitting gems about Muffin the Mule, Itmar, Nutty Slack, the Crazy Gang, Zeppelins, yeah. The Kaiser.
The Kaiser, yes, sir. And would you like to hear the Kaiser song?
The Kaiser song?
Yes, 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 yes. Kaiser, Sarah, whatever we'll be.
I see, yes. I'm sorry, you're out of date. Nurse, wheel these gentlemen over to those copies of today's papers, will you?
What's this? What's this? These names. What's this? These names mean nothing to me. The Osmond brothers, Russell Harty, Nina Barden Semper.
Those names mean nothing to anybody. But you still have to move with the times. After all, this is 1957.
No,
it's not. It is as far as the BBC's concerned.
We're not with the BBC anymore.
Quite. I think. Anyway, get on with it.
Oh, rubbish. Look, we can still live off our old lovable old catchphrases, can't we?
No, you need new catchphrases, new ideas, new blood, new guts, giblets, dismembered weasels. Oh, I love it. I love it. It's good to be back.
He may be a loony, but he has a point. Public tastes have changed. We've got to give them what they want. We've got to have a new catchphrase. I suggest, can I do you now, sir?
It's been done.
What about... Yep. Yeah. And now for something...
No! Don't be ridiculous!
Subtle.
Terrapins.
I beg your pardon?
Terrapins! 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 Bound to get a laugh, that. Terrapins.
Bill, terrapins have never got a laugh and never will.
No, yes, they will! Listen to this. Terrapins! Phase two!
Here is an exercise in audience brainwashing, the Terrapin song.
Oh, you are certain of a chuckle with a chicken or a chimpanzee. The merest mention of a marmoset is guaranteed hilarity.
Ho, 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 ho.
A gibbon always gets a grin. Whoop! But none of them are better than a tut terrapin. Tut 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 terrapin. Tut 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 terrapin. Tut 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 terrapin. Everybody sing the song.
Oh honey.
Tut 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 terrapin. Tut 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 terrapin.
This has nothing to do with me. Bum, 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 bum.
You can depend on the pangolin to get them rolling in the aisle.
Pangolin, 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 pangolin.
A bat or a bandicoot, a cougar or a crocodile.
Snap, snap.
A fairy tears a funsome thing. But if they're gonna cheer you, you gotta let them hear you sing. Not safety pin. No, na, 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 nappy pin. But tut, 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 terrapin. Everybody sing the song.
Yes, baby.
Not la, 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 loo pin. No, pa, 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 pinny pin. But tut, 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 terrapin. Everybody sing along. All together.
Now, we re-experience at last one of the joys we've been doing without for 3 years.
Speak for yourself.
Yes, it's prune playtime.
Oh, yippee! Super! Oh,
goody. Bags, I be it.
No comment. And for the first of this series of dramatic presentations, we give you...
What?
Lawrence of Arabia.
Oh, boring.
Boring.
On ice.
What?
Look, embarrassing enough without being riddled with geographical or topological incongruities.
Oh! John, you do use big words.
Well, I'm a big person.
Big head.
What did you say?
So you got beer.
A big what?
Head. Head! Head! A big head! John Cleese has got a big head!
Oh, good. Well, that's all right, then. For a moment, I thought you were getting at my left ear, and I'm very sensitive about that.
Look, Cleese. Stop interrupting, or we'll all go home and you'll be left here.
Left ear, you bitch!
Come on. What have you got against Lawrence of Arabia on ice?
Well, since you ask, Lawrence, I have nothing against. Perfectly nice name. In fact, I once had a pygmy shrew called Alexander. Honestly, I wouldn't have minded if he'd been called Lawrence. So Lawrence is fine. Just fine. Ice, I like also. Very much, in fact. Especially turnip flavour with a glacé cockroach on it. Yes. And, indeed, Arabia, insofar as it is warm and sunny, I can hardly recommend. The beach is a long way from the sea, but... Arabia is all right, but... Yet, and here's the rub, the combination of the two, Arabia and ice, that is, in my opinion, which I admit is only spot on, how should I say... incongruous. How shall I say it? That's how I shall say it. Well, to be more specific, the ice would melt, the desert would turn to mud, and we'd all be lost in the quicksand, right or wrong?
Boring.
All right. What do you suggest?
I suggest Scott of the Antarctic on sand.
On ice?
Better still.
Scott of the Antarctic on ice? Bit obvious, isn't it?
Oh, look, all right. How about Lawrence of the Antarctic?
It's a deal.
God help us. You're on your own.
We present Lawrence of the Antarctic on ice.
Hold it, that won't do, sorry. If he's going to be fussy, so am I. Musical accuracy, if you don't mind. I want Eskimo music.
Sorry, Eskimos are from the North Pole.
All right. We present Lawrence of the Arctic, all right?
Yes, on ice.
With Eskimo music.
Wait a minute. What is that?
What the hell's Eskimo music?
dear, he can't do Eskimo music.
Red Indian music.
Red Indian. All right, we present Big Chief Leaping Lawrence of the Arctic on ice. Is 1892. Famous explorer, Big Chief Leaping Lawrence, formerly Captain Terry Scott, the well-known bird artist, has set out across the Sahara Desert to find the North Pole. Fool. 3 years later, he took a bus to Alaska and prepared to try again.
Right. This is Big Chief Leaping Lawrence, alias Captain Scott, speaking. If you expect me to do 3 or 4 funny accents all at once, you've got another thing coming.
Chicken.
Now shut up. Quiet. Or I shan't introduce you all. Now then, who's going to come on this expedition with me?
Me.
Right, Mimi, you can come. Next, and also, I shall be accompanied by my faithful companion, Captain Oates.
You can call me Sugar Puff.
Puff, you fool. No. In my ear.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Better. As you'd expect, Oates is in charge of the tents. It will come as no surprise when I tell you he is the most experienced camper this side of Larry Grayson. And, by the way, I would advise you all to keep this side of Larry Grayson. Captain Oddie will be in charge of the dogs. They're about his level. And Captain Cleese will be in charge of the camels, which serves him right for cocking up the story in the first place.
Well.
Also travelling with us, left over from the original script, will be my faithful old belly dancer, Salami.
Hello!
Wait a minute. Surely Salami's a great big fat sausage.
Isn't she just?
But is she really a belly dancer?
Well, she's too fat to dance on her feet. Oi!
Or is she really a belly dancer?
Yes, pay her £5 and she'll dance on your belly.
Bring me a plastic Mac.
Anything. Right. We shall be travelling on skates whilst the camels ride on the sledge, because they're not used to the snow. Captain Oddie,
Are the dogs ready?
Yes, sir, and they're a splendid team, sir. Good. Last week, they beat Crystal Palace.
That proves nothing.
Quite.
Has the leader a good bark?
Oh, yes, sir. Listen to this. Snibs, show him your bark.
Oof. What was that?
Perfectly all right, sir. He's just a little husky.
I thought he was a little horse.
Snibs! Woe is me.
Everyone a Winnie. Sugar Puff!
Sugar Puff! Yes, yes, yes.
What about your supplies?
Oh, come, surely you guessed by now, Doc.
And so the team of dogs, led by the faithful Snibs, dragged the expedition across the snow.
Snibs! Mush! Come on, Snibs, mush!
What are you calling mush?
Sorry, Snibs.
Lay off that whip or I'll bite your potty. On and on, further north they trek, never stopping even to wash.
What a dirty trek.
Then, slowly, the temperature began to fall.
I think I'm going. Yes, I am! Yes!
Oh, my body.
My goodness, it's getting cold. Yes. Isn't it? All around us, nothing but icy wastes. And chilly kneecaps. Now then, let's see. I have this little device for telling us when it's getting dangerously freezing.
What on earth is it?
Hmm? Oh, it's this little brass monkey. I just hold it up and... Yes. Yes, it is very cold. Still, not to worry until...
No, you can worry.
The food was getting low.
Oh, I'm depressed.
Captain Cleese, how are the supplies?
Present meats or guns, sir? Big Chief Leaping Lawrence, formerly Captain Jeanette Scott, the famous lady pilot and controller of BBC Two, decided he would have to catch fish in the old Eskimo manner. First, he got down onto the ice. Then he cut a round hole in it, and then he fell through. Just then, over the ice came sliding a plump little figure wearing a fur coat, fur trousers, and fur undies. It wasn't that funny.
No, but they tickle.
That's fur enough.
It was indeed none other than Nanook of the North.
It's right greatly to see you. I'm a chip butty.
Wrong voice.
Now listen, Beanpole.
Oh, clever one.
Well, now listen, I'm playing the Nuke of the North, and this is a northern accent I'm doing. So you can like it or you can lump it. And what is more, brothers, I bring you Eskimo jokes.
Not today, thank you.
But tell us, Nanook, is it safe to carry on through this frozen hell?
E by gum clogs, black puddings, and cotton mills. No, there's all kinds of dangerous creatures lurking here.
Lurk.
There's polybirds, walruses, whales, and worst of all...
Oh, no!
Yes!
But before he could finish, the ice began to tremble.
I'm frightened.
And then it suddenly cracked. There appeared a gaping crevasse.
Oh, look at that!
And from it rose out...
No!
A great, fat, blubbery, monstrous, misshapen creature. What's happened now?
Forgotten how to do it.
Gordon Bennett.
Right, cancel the series. It's all off.
No.
No, wait. Wait! I've got it. He must have a voice transplant.
Here is an urgent appeal on behalf of Radio Prune. If there are any people with ludicrous voices who would be willing to donate them to Timbrook Taylor for a few weeks, we would be most grateful.
Hello? Oh, yes. Oh, thank you very much. Oh, thank you. Yes. Oh, right away, please. Thank you.
Thank heavens. There's a donor coming over.
right, lie down, please. Now, let's get these voices swapped before everyone switches off. Saw?
Saw.
Chisel.
Chisel.
Vocal cords out. Swap them over. Sewing machine.
A sewing machine.
Right. The first successful voice transplant without the aid of acupuncture.
Blah, 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 blah.
Carry on with the script.
Good grief. Look, everybody. Look at that huge, flabby body and at that hideous, lascivious grin.
Hello. How about a spin on Morning Cloud? No, Harold, I'm not going to pick you up.
Oh, well, you can't say it's not a funny voice.
And very sporting of the gentleman. Thank you very much, sir.
Not at all! It's been a pleasure!
Been listening once again to the star of stars and the show of shows, Angus Prune, ably supported by the staggering talents of Tim Brooke Taylor, John Cleese, Graham Garden, David Hatch, Joe Kendall and Bill Oddie. The so-called script was written by the so-called Bill Oddie and Graham Garden. Bill Tedapin Oddie wrote the song and the music was played by Dave Lee and the boys by arrangement with Leon Cohen. The programme was produced by David Hatch and John Castles, who started the day by carving these immortal words on the microphone.
It's I'm sorry, I'll read that again. Once more.
My name is Angus Prune and I would like to read that again.
You, sir.